Amen. Well, this is the second Sunday of Advent, and some of you, if you've been around the church very long, some of you know that there are these themes for each Sunday of Advent, and typically the themes are hope, peace, joy, and love. Hope, peace, joy, and love. And as we hear those four themes, I pray that they wouldn't just be a part of Advent, but that it would be a part of our lives, every moment of every day. Hope, joy, peace, and love. But if you're like me, you need the Lord's help. I need the Lord's help when it comes to hope, peace, joy, and love. So the Lord has been helping me, and over these last few years, one of the best teachers of spiritual truths in my life has been Walmart. I know it sounds a little strange, but one of the best teachers for me has been Walmart. I'll confess kind of up front that Walmart isn't my favorite place. It's not my favorite place to shop. But before I go too far into this, let me just say for a moment that I know we've got some folks here who have worked at Walmart or have family members that work at Walmart, and I'm with you. My own father, at the age of 77, still working full-time at Walmart. He's been there 20-plus years. So I'm setting this up for a moment. With all that being said, I still don't like to shop at Walmart. And so typically, I'll make it to Walmart a couple of times a year, and my main objective in doing that is to purchase a couple of items. I always go to Walmart to purchase motor oil and an oil filter. Why, you ask? Because they have better prices. I mean, just being honest. So you pretty much would see me at Walmart every 4,000 or 5,000 miles is when I make my way into the store. And so, wouldn't you know it, this week, it's about that time. And I still change my own oil, and I like to do so when I can still feel my fingers. And so I'm hoping to accomplish this while the weather is nice, before the cold sets in. So as I was preparing for my pilgrimage to Walmart, I was sharing with my wife, and she let me know that they've got some new things happening at Walmart. Apparently, coronavirus has changed a lot, right? You miss a few weeks of church and things change. And by the way, you guys, you look great this morning. You are social distanced to a T. This is beautiful. So thank you for that. But Katie, as she was telling me about Walmart, I knew they had this grocery pickup option, but now they also have in-store pickup. Now, some of you are like, this is old news, but again, I'm kind of out of the loop here. So it was news to me. So I went ahead and I went online and I ordered actually four items. I ordered my motor oil, my oil filter, a two-pack of chapstick, and some packing tape. That was my big order. And I thought, this is going to be great. I'll just make my way in and pick up my order and I'll be right out. Because see, in the past, I had to lay out my plan. I kind of approach shopping kind of like I'm in the military. And so I find the parking spot, and I walk quickly, head down. I'm focused on my mission, my objective. And so, again, if you've ever been in Walmart, you got to go to the back corner for the oil and oil filter. I don't know why they do that, but that's the case. And so I used to always go in. I didn't want to make eye contact. I didn't peruse. I'm not a shopper. I just had my mission in the past, right? So this time I was going to bypass all of that, and so I made my order, and the email came through that my order was ready to pick up, sort of. As I looked at it, apparently they didn't have the motor oil, so I was now going to pick up an oil filter, chapstick, and packing tape, and let's be honest, an oil filter without new oil is kind of pointless, and so I was a little disappointed. I'll be honest, a little disappointed. But I made my way to the store just 2 days ago. Again, I park. I've got my objective in mind. I make my way to the back corner because I got to buy oil. They didn't have the particular oil I wanted. I had to get a different one. So on a mission, got my mask on. You can't even see how happy I am. And I go to the back corner. I grab my oil. I go through the checkout. And then I make my way to in-store pickup. And Katie had prepped me. She had told me that there's this giant place you go to, and there's like a robot that hands you your order. And I thought, this is going to be awesome. I've never seen a robot before. Now, it turns out that's not exactly the case. But I went with my smartphone. I pulled up my email with my barcode, just like your parents and my grandparents have done for generations. And we went over to the scanner, and I scanned the barcode, expecting for something to happen in this big box, a robot or something, to receive a message on the scanner that said, someone will be with you shortly. So if you've been there, it's kind of a little corral they've built with lockers. So I stood there with my motor oil, and it's a 5-quart, and you know, I'm pretty strong, but after 5 or 10 minutes, it starts to get heavy, so I set it on the ground. A few more minutes pass, and another lady comes, and she also scans her code and gets the same response, and now there's two of us in this corral. I didn't see a gate, but they probably at some point were ready to pen us in as sheep, but after a few more minutes had passed, finally an employee came by to ask how we were doing. I thought maybe they'd offer us like complimentary coffee and donuts or something at this point, but she just wanted to know how we were doing. And she then made a phone call in her shirt, however they do that, and let us know that someone would be up to help us shortly, just kind of like that message I had 15 minutes ago on the scanner. So some more time passes, and by this point, let's be honest, the Lord was working on me. Hope, peace, joy, love. Advent, hope, peace, joy, love. Advent, this season of waiting and anticipating. Man, the Lord was working on me. Again, I had my face mask on, so you couldn't see the joy that I had inside. Finally, it seemed like 20 minutes. I don't know. It may not have been 20 minutes. Finally, a nice-looking young man came up with our orders in hand, and he handed me my bag of oil filter, 2-pack of chapstick, and packing tape. I thanked him, and I made my way out of the store. But man, the Lord really worked on me. See, Walmart, for me, has a way of teaching me a lot about my true condition, about some of these things that we're called to do as the people of Christ. And so Walmart might not be the same for you, but that is the truth for me. I in all honesty, I could have purchased all four of those items in 3 minutes and 37 seconds, and I could have been out of there. But what did the Lord want to say to me? So we're in this season of waiting and anticipating, and to be honest, if you were to look at the world right now, what most people are anticipating and waiting on is a vaccine. As I turn on the social media and the news every day, that is the main conversation that I'm seeing when it comes to waiting and anticipating. And I'm not going to go down that conversation to share my thoughts on that, because I know it's controversial. If you're waiting and anticipating for a vaccine, I hope that it comes through for you. But this is the narrative that the world has given to us. It's almost as if I were to read the news today, that if we had a vaccine in hand, all of our troubles would go away. We know that's not going to be the case. But many of us are looking for answers. We want quick and easy. I had to laugh at Walmart. This was the email response after I got my order. This is what they sent me on an email. They said, thanks for using our pickup service. We hope it was quick and easy and that you enjoy your new items. We're always adding to the service to help you save time and money. Quick and easy. Right? That's what we want, quick and easy. We don't do well with waiting. We don't do very well with suffering. We're just not very conditioned to wait anymore. And yet, life has a way of bringing us difficult experiences. Sometimes we face problems that have no answers. We just have to live day by day, just waiting and waiting. And as Pastor Al reminded us, there was a period of 400 years before John the Baptist and Jesus came on the scene. season of waiting. So as we find ourselves in this difficult season of coronavirus and all of the implications in every area of our lives, may we also anticipate good things that are yet to come. What is it that you're hoping for this season? What is it that you're hoping God will do during this Advent season? And what is it that you're hoping God will do this next year? What is it that you're longing for? Are you able to hope for something greater? And what if our hope wasn't in something but someone? Someone that is proven. Right? Because Advent should actually remind us that God has proven himself to be faithful. That all of the prophecies of the Old Testament, all of the prophecies of Jesus have happened just as the prophets prophesied. Jesus, the very Son of God, has come to us. But we should also be anticipating something else today. We should also be anticipating his coming again. It's his promise to us. And if he is the promise keeper, then I think that's something that we can grab a hold of today. That God is faithful to his promises, and if he promises he's coming back again, then I'm going to hold on to that today. Amen. I think it's something we can hold on to together. And times are tough, but together we're holding on to the truth of Jesus' return. Paul writes about hope in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. He says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Friends, there's so much more for us to experience today. God's love isn't a one-time gift that we look back on at Christmas time. No, God's love is unending. He wants us to live in the midst of his love. He wants us to receive that love every moment of every day. And this is good news. Right, as we're looking for hope and we're looking for answers to some of the problems that are facing the world today, this is good news. God's love for us, the reality that Jesus Christ is coming back again for his church, this is good news. So this morning I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. In your New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to look at the very beginning of this gospel. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It'll be on the screen for you as well. We talk about good news. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: 'After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I don't know if you caught that this morning. The good news begins with something old. Mark says, as it was written in Isaiah. Perhaps what we're missing today is something old. Perhaps the answer for today was written long ago. And maybe the answer for today has already come. What is this good news? The good news is Jesus. It's his life, death, resurrection. It is his reign and rule. It is the reality that he is coming back again. But here in Mark, the beginning of the good news comes from the past. It was given by the Lord through Isaiah. It was spoken. It was written down, and it remains true today. The beginning of the good news of Jesus. The beginning of the good news of Jesus is the messenger who would come. Before Jesus came, there was a messenger, and we know him to be John the Baptist. So before we hear the good news must first be shared. It reminds me of scripture passage found in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know what verse comes right before these two verses? It's Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on the name of the Lord if they've not heard? And how can they hear if no one's telling anyone? If no one's preaching? And how can anybody preach if they're not sent? Friends, how can someone be saved if they've not yet heard? Today we are messengers. We have good news to share. Right? Despite all that's happening, we have good news, life-changing news. The messenger will prepare the way. As Mark is writing in the gospel, he's pulling from Isaiah 40. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. One translation says, prepare the way, clear the road. Is that not needed today? Is that not still the case today? There needs to be a preparing a way for the Lord into people's lives, into their homes. There are so many things today that get in the way. There are so many things that we let into our lives. There are distractions and difficulties. There's sin and addictions, but friends, there's also this little thing called pride. Think of all of the things that get in the way. But there is also this calling to make a way, to make ready, to make straight paths. Well, this word in Isaiah 40 comes from the idea of a coming king. It was the job of a herald to go forth, a forerunner who would go out ahead of the king and would announce in the villages along the road that the king is coming. This was a job that someone had. They would announce the imminent arrival of a king, and it's a beautiful connection to the reality of the coming of King Jesus. But if you're familiar with Isaiah 40, and as we see it reflected here in the Gospel of Mark, this is what it does not say. Right? That messenger, that herald, that forerunner, as they go out, they don't say, hey, the king is coming, let's get everything ready. And once everything's ready, the king's going to show up. That's not what the word says. The word says a messenger goes out and announces the king is coming. You need to get ready. Ready or not, he's going to come. So if we'll let that urgency sink in for a moment, it should cause us to be a bit restless as the people of God. And the Holy Spirit might begin to breathe a little bit of emphasis into our lives, like we are part of this, preparing the way for the Lord. He is coming. Friends, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I just know he's faithful and he's true. But it all begins with Jesus. But before Jesus comes on the scene, there was John the Baptist. And before John the Baptist, there's Isaiah and Malachi and others prophesying. So think with me for a moment. Who was it in your life that came first? Who was it that spoke the good news of the gospel in your life? Who was it that came alongside you? And how did their coming into your life begin to shape you? How did it prepare you to receive Jesus? Was it their words? Was it their kindness? Was it their dedication and the time that they gave to you? Was it the reality that they walked with you? Now, think with me for a moment. Who is it that needs you to be that kind of person? Friends, this does not end. We are called to make disciples. So who is it this morning that needs you to be that kind of person, that you'll enter into their lives? You'll be interceding for them, praying in advance, waiting for that moment to share the good news of the gospel. Who is it? Who is it? Friends, we don't have to have our lives all figured out. We don't have to have advanced theology degrees. We just need to be open to the Holy Spirit. The word tells us, and I believe it to be true, the Holy Spirit will give us words. And God's already given you a testimony. Our ministry is to point others to Jesus. John the Baptist came to point everyone to Jesus. Jesus was coming into the world, and John was helping to prepare others to receive him. He appeared in the wilderness. It wasn't in the spotlight. It wasn't on the platform or the stage. He appeared in the wilderness, preaching a message of repentance. Man, and how far the church has drifted from that. But this message was only to point to Jesus, one who was greater. John talks about it in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 31. It says, the next day, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man comes after me who has surpassed me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. John recognized that Jesus actually came before him. Friends, Jesus is going before you as you go out. It's called prevenient grace. God is at work. So if God begins to put somebody in your mind, I guarantee you, it's from the Holy Spirit. John's message wasn't about himself. It was about Jesus. He said, after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not even worthy to stoop down and untie. There's a lot of humility here. I think it's one of the reasons why God was able to work so powerfully through John the Baptist. The word tells us the whole Judean countryside went out to hear. And those in Jerusalem, friends, not just the town and the city slickers, but the country folk too, they went out together to hear this message that John was preaching. And the word tells us what happened when they went out and they heard that word. They were wrecked. They confessed their sins and they were baptized with a baptism of repentance. So if you want to know if a move of God is genuine, then look for the fruit. Is there humility and Christ-likeness. God was stirring the hearts of the people, and they went running. They went running toward the Lord. But even when they showed up, John pointed them back to Jesus. Friends, God can use ordinary people because he's an extraordinary God. Aren't you thankful this morning that God can use regular old people like you and me? Yeah, I'm more regular than you, but just regular old people. That should be good news today. God can use obscure, kind of weird people like John the Baptist. I would have worn a camel hair jacket, but I don't have one this morning. That's what John was about. He was just focused on what the Lord was asking him to do. He found himself out in the wilderness, a place known for its testing and trials, but also a place of preparation, a place where God would prepare him for the ministry that was placed on him, even while he was still in the womb. Man, now I'm getting way off track, but that might be something to say about abortion. God has a plan for a person before they're born. And God is looking for messengers today. Those who have heard the good news, whose lives have been transformed. Those who have a burning passion for more of Jesus. And those who will take that message to a hurting, lost, confused world. So do you have a passion for more of Jesus? It's not a passion for ministry or significance. It's a passion for more of Jesus. Like John the Baptist, I'm not worthy. It's got to be Jesus, more Jesus. Do you have that kind of passion? God is looking for messengers who will take this message of hope to a world with misplaced priorities. But let us not get too down on the world because Jesus came to save the world. So let the Lord work on you. He might take you to Walmart where you gotta let the Lord work on you. He came to seek and save the lost. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. He came for you. He came for me. So are you ready for God to come and move today? Are you open to all that he has and all that he is asking of us? First question is, have you repented of your sin? This is the message of John the Baptist. Have you repented of your sin? That word in the original language is a change of direction. It's a change of mind. It's a turning away from sin and turning towards the Lord. Praise God, he is faithful to forgive us of all our sin and unrighteousness. It's by his blood that we are redeemed. This is the message of John the Baptist. It's the message that paved the way for Jesus, and it's what opens the door for us to receive Jesus. Repent and believe the good news that Jesus is Lord. So if you want Jesus to come, if you want Jesus to come, repent of sin and turn to him. And then join him in this mission to redeem the world. Don't just wait. Follow him today. And when opposition and hardship come, keep following him. Don't get distracted. Instead, trust the one who is greater. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with hope, a hope that won't disappoint. Be willing to preach the truth of the gospel, right? All of us are called to preach. Be willing to preach the truth of the gospel, the message of repentance, a message of preparation, the reality that Jesus is coming back again. Friends, I don't know why we've gotten away from that message. Like when the world gets even worse, isn't that like what we want to hear? That we need to be ready? Jesus talked an awful lot about him coming back. Isaiah 40 said someone would come. Hear these verses, 3-5. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah revealed that God was coming. God will come, and nothing will keep him from coming. Mountains will be torn down, valleys will be filled in, rough places made smooth, whatever it takes. Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Greater things are coming. John announced that one was coming after him who was more powerful, that Jesus would come and he would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. Are we open this morning to baptism with the Holy Spirit, to being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit? God's presence will change your perspective. God's presence reveals hope to us. God's presence strengthens us in the midst of the struggle. Jesus is good news. Jesus is good news at Walmart. Jesus is good news in the midst of a pandemic. Jesus is good news for a hurting world. Jesus is good news. Have you received him today? Jesus is good news. Will you help prepare the way for others to receive him today? Friends, hope cannot be canceled. Hope cannot be shut down. And hope does not disappoint. So let us proclaim together the good news. Isaiah 40 verse 9 says this, go up on a high mountain, you joyful messengers of Zion, and lift up your voices with power. You who proclaim joyous news to Jerusalem, shout it out. Don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Friends, it's time to not be afraid anymore. We don't have a lot of high mountains around here. But God has given us each a voice. He's given each of us a sphere of influence. He's given us friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, classmates. Are we willing to be joyful messengers who will shout it out? Who will say to Marshalltown and Conrad and LeGrand and Ames and everywhere across central Iowa, are we willing to say, here is your God? It's only possible through empowering of the Holy Spirit. In our own strength, we'll falter, we'll fail. But by his empowering and his strength, would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for messengers. And we thank you for this message of hope. Lord, we have such good news today. Such good news. Lord, there is nothing that can come into our lives. There's nothing that can happen in this congregation that would cancel this good news, that would somehow rip away our hope. But Lord, our eyes must be fixed on you. We must continue to be faithful to proclaim the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord, that there is forgiveness of sins, that there is peace through Jesus Christ. So Father, I pray for your church today, the body of Christ, Lord. Help us today. Give us eyes to see, Father. May we see what you're doing on the earth in these days, and may we be open. May we be a yes, a continual yes to whatever you would ask us to do. We say yes, Lord. Even if it brings change, we say yes because it's for your glory, Lord. So empower your church today. By your Spirit, empower your church. Give us compassion. Give us a broken heart for what we see, Lord. Let's not just dismiss it. Let's see where you're moving, Lord. Let's partner with you in this. Let us be heralds. Let us be forerunners. Let us be messengers of this good news, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you continue to be honored and glorified through the ministry of this local church, through our lives, in our homes, and in our hearts. So, Lord, that once again means if we're not right with you in this moment, you are inviting us to repent of our sins. Father, we lay down our sins. We repent of our sin. Cleanse us once again, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit once again, Lord Jesus. Prepare us for what we'll face the rest of this day and the week to come, Lord Jesus. And give us a greater anticipation for Jesus Christ, the one who reigns right now and the one who will return one day. You are Lord of all, and we glorify your name this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, in his name. Amen.